Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show this morning. And you are speaking with Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach, and author. And today's show will be interesting. We're having a few technical difficulties. So we'll see if my guest can join us as soon as possible. Meanwhile, I welcome everybody to the show. For those who are in North America, call in on 646-716-7979. And those outside North America, you can listen here at http://tobtr.com/896-3079. And just follow the links to call in or message me on Facebook. Okay. Our guest speaker, I think, has just managed to log in. So just give me a couple of seconds. Hi, Ronsley. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Trish. How are you? Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, I can. I just love technology, Ronsley, don't you?
Oh, brilliant. My God. I've been trying to connect for the last minutes, and I'm like, what's wrong with this thing? And I suppose log in and log out works best.
Okay, we've just gone live. I've just welcomed everybody, and I am welcoming you. We'll be speaking to you later. My guest speaker for those out there listening in is Ronsley Vaz, the creator of the We Are podcast and the host of Bond Appetit. And I'll be speaking with you soon, Ron. And we'll be learning more about podcasting and why audio matters. So I'll come back to you shortly. Okay, as usual, I start our show with the latest frequently asked question. And today's question is, what do I do if my mind goes blank? Which could also be translated as, what do you do when you're on a live radio show and you're about to start and there's nobody there to talk to? So either one of those, the first thing is don't panic. It happens to everyone at some stage in their public speaking journey. So just don't panic. And it's the same thing if you're on a live radio show and your guest and you're having technology problems, the first thing is don't panic. Just forge ahead. So when you're speaking, never apologize or draw the audience's attention to you. Just pause. Smile, gather your thoughts, and go on. It's an automatic reaction. When your mind goes blank, when you're faced with an audience of people who are watching you, the first thing that usually happens, people open their mouths and they say, oh, I'm sorry, or they look flustered. So as you get more experienced on your speaking journey, you will learn to just smile at the audience. Believe me, people, a smile will get you out of 1,000 problems. You smile at someone and the audience will smile back at you. And meanwhile, you can be frantically thinking inside your head, what am I going to say next? But they're never going to know that. They just think you have paused for effect. So smile calmly about what you're going to say and then open your mouth and continue forward. And they'll never know whether you've paused for effect, whether you just smiled at them, or whether you'd forgotten every damn thing you were going to say at that point. And that's why I laugh when I say to my clients and when I'm talking, is if I smile a lot, you never know whether it's because I love smiling at you or whether I've got no idea what I'm saying next. And the great thing about live radio is you can't see me, so you have no idea if I'm frantically thinking of what I'm going to say next. One thing I would say to you, though, is to watch out if you're memorizing your speech word for word. This is a trap that new people on the journey often fall into, they think they've got to memorize that speech word for word. But the problem that happens is if you forget the next word in your speech, your mind will go blank and then you will have a problem. So don't memorize it word for word. You know your subject. You're the expert. Use dot points and speak to those. I will be sharing more tips and techniques and strategies each show. If there is something you would like answered, email me on info@trischel.com.au. That's T-R-I-S-C-H-E-L. And then tune into the next show to hear your answer. Now, it's my great pleasure to meet our guest, Ronsley Vaz, the creator of the We Are podcast and the host of Bond Appetit. Now, as the creator of We Are podcast, that is the first podcasting conference in the Southern Hemisphere. And Ron is also the founder of Amplify, the only audio marketing agency in Australia. He is the host of Bond Appetit, and that focuses on uniting entrepreneurs through food. Yummo. Bond Appetit has over 2.2 million listeners in 133 countries. So I think Ron knows a little bit about audio and a little bit about podcasting. Ron also has a master's degree in software engineering and an MBA in psychology and leadership. He is a business mentor, an award-winning chef, and a serial ID creator. Excited to be exploring why all things audio, podcasting, and content marketing with Ron today. Hi, Ron. Welcome to our show.
Trish, you made me sound like a rock star. I don't think I never thought of myself that way. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I was excited. I was actually, listening to another, what was that? I think it was a webinar a few weeks back, and you were on that webinar, and I just loved the way you spoke. It was so real. You just shared everything, and I thought, I have to have this person on my show, because I just felt like I clicked with you. So I thought, I don't know. He's a really big rock star here, so is he going to come on to my little radio show? Well, people, this is what you do. You just ask, because the worst they can say is no, and the best they can say is, like Ron did, I'd love to. So I'm looking forward to finding out all about podcasting with you today. Probably, Ron, do you want to give us a real quick background of how you got into this, from a award-winning chef into having a big podcast show and really loving all
this
audio?
Sure. And even after all those years of being involved in software technology and engineering and being part of the audio scene for a while, you still have issues connecting. So if anyone thinks that, you know, there's never a shortage of technical issues. It's always going to happen. So be prepared for it. I love the opening of how you open the show with what happens when you go blank. Absolutely don't panic. That's fantastic. A bit about my background, I suppose. I've done a whole bunch of different things, from software engineering to financial advising, but I managed to open my own restaurant and became a chef. And I looked around and I noticed that a lot of Australians and a lot of people around the world were not eating right. And I saw kids that were not eating right. I saw parents that were not necessarily feeding the kids right. And I thought, you know, the message needs to go out to more parents and people as to how to eat proper food. What is proper? Because, again, what is healthy food? Because the word healthy got tainted with advertising and marketing, and, you know, a whole bunch of different versions of what healthy means. So I decided that I was going to interview a whole bunch of entrepreneurs, high-performing individuals, athletes, artists, people who have done really cool stuff, and interview them about their journey, but also talk about how food, or whether food, played an important role. And that's how Bond Appetit started. And every single one of them, doesn't matter, I've interviewed over 200 people now, and every single one of them can trace back to a single point in their life where they've changed their relationship with food, and it's had this massive compounding effect in their life and in their business and in their relationships. So there is some sort of a link. Yeah.
That's just amazing. We don't think about it, do we, Ron? Because food's just an automatic thing in our lives, and we don't really realize how much of an impact that can have on what we do.
I think that we think about it so often that we think that it's just part of our thoughts. I don't necessarily think that we don't think about it. I think we make too many decisions around food. Where should I eat the cupcake? Should I not eat the cupcake? Where should I go for dinner? Tracy's coming to town, where should I take her? We have so many decisions that we make around food, but we don't realize how much it clogs our decision making, because we have a certain standard of what we can eat or not eat, and then that standard gets moved. So I don't know whether we don't think about food. I think we think about it, but we make the same decisions over and over again.
Yeah, I suppose when I say that, I think it's we don't think about the fact that we are thinking about it. So I wish that could be really deep. And if we go down that line very much further, we could get really bogged down into it. But
very meta.
and here we are talking about food again. So you got into the podcasting and Bon Appetit took off. I mean, wow, 2.2 million listeners. And I guess then what's happened is, as you've been refining that, you've been discovering heaps about podcasting and audio. So I thought, why does audio matter so much? Because obviously you have really started to find a lot of that, and that's where you're pushing and going in your expertise. So
yeah,
why does it matter?
Why does it matter? That's a very, very broad question. So we're going to spend another hour here. audio matters for a variety of reasons. One is audio is intimate. When you think about our first senses that we develop as kids in our mother's wombs, it's audio. That's why it's encouraged that the parents sing to their children. And it's one of those really intimate mediums, because who would you rather buy from? Rather buy from someone that has sent you 10 emails to someone who listened for half an hour. Audio is a very intimate medium. It helps you build relationships. I guarantee, Trish, that after this conversation, we'll know each other a little bit better. We'll become closer acquaintances, even though we've not met each other in person, but we've had this conversation. It allows you to build relationships. You allow yourself to communicate better. When you think about explaining a topic someone, you cannot do that in a blog post. You cannot do that in a 2-minute video. You cannot do that in a tweet, for God's sake. But when it comes to explaining something, it's always better to do it via audio. And you think about all the speeches that have changed the way we see the world, from gender equality to phone with one button. There was always a speech that was the center of that speech, massive change. Audio is easy to produce. It's easy create content, it's storytelling. Obviously, start a massive movement creating a conversation. It saves you time, because you don't have to do much editing. As an example, it goes out straight live. How difficult would it be to do this via video? And trends are just telling us that audio is on the rise. People love to consume content while they're doing other things. So when you think about every other form of content that's going out, you've got to stop what you're doing to consume it. Audio is the only one that you can have engagement through for 30, 40 minutes and even longer while you're doing something else. Chances are people are listening right now and doing something else. And that's the power of audio. You have the ability to have to listen to it in the car. All cars these days, every single one, the 2016 models come with Apple CarPlay or Google Play already built into the car. So, audio is very, very, very powerful. And I've cut my whole answer short, but I hope that answers the question.
No, I really get it. I mean, even I know that video is trending as well. But you're right. To do video, you still have to be able to stop and look at it. With audio, you can be multitasking, and we do spend a lot of time in our cars today, and that's what we're doing. If we're stuck in traffic, we can listen to audio, and that's, well, it's powerful. So what is trending in audio? So we know audio itself is trending. We know that audio is powerful, but where's the trend? What audio topics, what things are coming up? What's trending?
Well, if you consider all the people's online behavior, this was a study that was done at the end of last year. So it got a lot of the 2015 data. So a lot of has changed since then, but we got a lot of the 2015 data. And if you look at people's online behaviors, how many users visit the top websites and apps, and for how long, the top app that people visit is Pandora, which is the online radio streaming platform. The next one is Facebook, obviously. But then is Google, and then is Netflix is really high up on the list. But then following all that, they're all in the line: SoundCloud and BuzzFeed Radio is also very, very high up on the list. So people are really listening to a lot of audio, but more and more people are listening on-demand radio, the radio where they pick what they want to listen to, when they want to listen to it, and obviously on the go. That's what's trending right now in radio consumption.
So we would be calling that as generally podcasting. Is this where we're looking at? Is there other things as well?
No, there's other things. I mean, if you think about when you know, used to have your favorite radio show. They used to be a time where you'd wait for 5 o'clock to tune on or tune in. But now you have that instantly available to you. So every radio station in Australia, and I'm sure across the world, have those favorite radio segments of them are recorded and it's pushed through iTunes. So chances are you're going to listen to that as a podcast. Podcasts are stuff that is, in my opinion, it should be a series. It has to be something that's linked from the previous episode to the next episode. Unfortunately, there are lots of brands out there that are doing, just putting audio out there for the sake of putting audio out there. But there are different types of audio. There's audio on demand, which is podcasting, and there's live radio, which you can pick what you're listening to. And there's obviously the webinars and the other stuff that's also there. But mainly audio on demand is what's grabbing people's attention more than anything else.
Okay. So what would you say, if we're talking audio on demand then, what would you say would be the qualities that are attracting the main listeners?
The quality of the show? Is that what you're asking?
The quality of the show, what the content is in the show. What is it, if we're looking at audio on demand, what is it that's really attracting the listeners to listen to that one over another one?
Gotcha. So the data suggests that the podcast listeners or the audio on demand listeners are very affluent in nature, as in they're all, the majority of them have businesses, or they are in a management position, or they are in school or university. So they've got some sort of career, if that makes sense. So in terms of what they're consuming, storytelling is high up on the list. People love to consume content in a way that they can relate or apply that to their lives. Again, that doesn't even matter whether they are affluent or not, but I think it does. We are generally very drawn to storytelling. So we like podcasts like Serial, as an example, which has probably put podcasting on the map. Have you heard of Serial, the podcast, Trish?
No, I haven't actually listened to that one. I have heard about it, but I haven't listened. But I do very much agree with you about storytelling, because it's something that really influences speaking as well. But tell us a little bit about Serial.
Yeah, so Serial is in its second season. So Serial is just like a TV series, but in audio. And the first season covered a real, and in second season as well, they're all real stories, real life stories, true stories. And the first season covered Adnan Syed, who was convicted of murder. And the host went and reopened the case from her point of view, not necessarily from a litigation point of view, opened the case and started interviewing him and other people around, because it was a great case. They convicted mm-hmm. him, but it was not 100% sure that whether he did or not. And they, she did, I think about 20 episodes around this story about her opening or reopening this case and asking all these questions, recording it, putting it together in a way that people were like, oh my God, I cannot wait to listen to the next episode. And this is the power of how that particular season and what she did with that season. Because of the way that story was told, and because of the number of fans that got drawn in to Serial, the first season, they actually reopened the case and gave him a second hearing. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the outcome of that happened, but where that went, but they gave him a second hearing about a month ago. So that's the power of creating storytelling type of audio, where people are just can't wait to listen to the next one.
That's that is powerful. It's one of the things that, as I said, that is very powerful in speaking. And the story, and you're right, we do get connected. There's something in our brain that sort of switches on as soon as we hear a story, and we relate to it. And something like that is really, very powerful. That sort of leads me on to, when we're talking about storytelling, we're talking about content, and that's what you're sort of saying, the audio ones really have to have good stories. How about content marketing for business? I know that your concept is that content marketing for business is changing. The traditional marketing is dying. So I can see from that story there that that's so much powerful, and that is probably a basis of why you're thinking this.
I think I can't remember the last time. So right now I'm in Sydney, and I'm having lots of conversations with businesses that are looking to market their business. And one of the biggest issues they have is that their customers or their clients or their potential customers don't see their brand the way they see it, and they're trying all these different ways to kind of make sure that happens. But when was the last time, and I asked them these questions, like, when was the last time you remember an ad that you noticed or you remember in a magazine? we somehow don't notice these ads anymore. When was the last time we noticed an ad, a billboard ad that made sense, or a billboard ad that we remember so much that we can discuss it right now? And no one has ever come up with one that, we could discuss. And everyone kind of went, I never thought about that. And if you think about it and you look at traffic, we're all on our phones. Even the driver, for God's sake, is on the phone. And we're spending so much money on billboards and on magazine ads, and God forbid someone spent we spend money on TV ads. Recently there was this the Australian government spent $21 million on an ad for kids to stop texting and driving. So it was a TV ad that was created, and you got the top agency to create this ad, and it was a TV ad. They spent $21 million. That was much spent on this ad. And I was there looking at this whole thing, kind of going, wait a minute, we know that these kids are looking at their phones, and we still created a TV ad? Really? That's our solution? So I think that traditional marketing there's still a place for it, but I don't think that it's, you know, as powerful as it used to be. Even today, I mean, we have so many friends, my friends at least, that go on television, but the only time they actually get noticed is if they click a picture of them being on television and put it on Facebook. You know, no one sees them on television anymore, daytime television, because who watches normal television these days, except if it's live TV? I mean, I watch Netflix only these days. I don't even, you know, or I record shows and watch them later. So I believe that traditional marketing is dying. And if you push your message the way that it used to be pushed, you're going to be seen as a snake, as a salesperson, and you're going to be seen as the bad salesperson, as a car salesman or a snake oil salesman, as they used to call them. But content marketing is so powerful because people have issues all the time. And if they can, when they have those issues, if they can find your brand, that's more powerful than you saying, buy from me, buy from me, buy from me. And there is no better way and no better authentic way to create content than through audio. So if you create authentic content through audio, and then from that point you develop all your collateral going forward, that is really, really powerful content marketing. Does that answer your question, or did I go all the way around and mess
no,
it up?
No. You brought up some really good points, because it was like a, I do it myself, and I didn't realize till you were speaking that when you're in the car nowadays, you actually, which is a shame because you miss all the lovely countryside, but you do have your head down quite often checking something on your phone. And it is a very rare billboard, I have to say, that catches my attention. But if there's something that comes up on my phone or I'm listening to something, it's going to catch my attention more. So that's a very good point. And your point about the ad for the children, yes, I don't know what child actually watches TV anymore. They're on their iPad or their phone, so it probably completely missed the whole point. It may have got the parents, but it didn't get the children, so it's true. So how do you think we should be starting with our content marketing as a business? What do you think we should be putting out there?
Well, I think one of the easiest ways, and that's probably one of the biggest issues, is that people think about content marketing and they start sort of sit in front of the computer trying to write a blog post. And chances are that what tends to happen is our brain goes, this is too hard, and we land up on Facebook. So the best way to do it is to have a conversation and record it. So as part of our agency, Amplify, what we do is we create all our content from audio. So even if a customer or a client does not want to have a podcast, we still have conversations with them, which we record. From those conversations, we have writers that listen to that whole conversation and come up with articles. We have a whole content team that takes that MP3 file or that whole audio conversation and comes up with a whole bunch of tweets, a whole bunch of Instagram images, Facebook updates, a slide deck, LinkedIn articles, and you know, we create everything from that one conversation. So when you're thinking about content marketing, there's no better way to create content than to have a conversation with someone else.
Absolutely, I agree. And you were sort of covering there what I call repurposing and leveraging, which is a little pet of mine at the moment, on how people get bogged down having to create new content all the time. And as you said, we don't have to. We start with one, and you can either use an agency like yours, or if you're just starting out, you can do it yourself and repurpose and leverage.
Absolutely. Repurposing and leveraging is probably one of the things that's most underutilized. We have content. People say, I don't have content. No, you have content everywhere. It's just your job to find out how you're going to take that and use that in different ways.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we don't understand or realize what the content we have. And that's why I like your suggestion of starting with a conversation, because if you're not sure what you've got, sit down and have someone interview you, or you talk to someone, and by the time you get through that conversation, you will have a lot of content.
Yes, and or interview other people. I mean, Trish, what you're doing right now is an example. I mean, you're creating a connection with me and other guests on your show. Apart from the fact that you have all this content that you can do a whole bunch of other things with, you've developed a relationship with me and other guests. And that is so powerful, which no other form can do unless you have a video studio with your video cameras around. And even then, it's extremely difficult to be able to get someone to do that.
Yeah.
Audio is a lot easier.
Absolutely. We'll just take a minute here for a moment, Ron, and I'll just do a little bit of a quick read check with our listeners. Don't forget that you can, if you're in North America, just call in. If you've got a question for Ron at any time or for myself, you can call in on 646-716-7979. And if you're outside North America, just follow that the login that you did, follow the links or message me on Facebook and I can pass your message on to Ron. We are here today speaking with Ronsley Vaz, the creator of We Are Podcast and the host of Bond Appetite, exploring how absolutely magnificent audio is at this particular stage in our business life and how we can take that audio and do something a little bit different with our marketing that is probably going to connect with our audience better than the traditional marketing. We've just been speaking about how we can take our content and absolutely repurpose and leveraging it. And Ron, just before I had that break, you were talking about how you could also go into TV and have it be videoed and that with your content. Funnily enough, I think people may find it easier to be doing audio than to do video. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It's a lot easier to get someone. It's a lot easier to get someone to come onto your show via audio than to get someone to come on your show via video. And it's a lot easier for you to produce an audio show than to produce a video show. So audio is a lot easier if you want to make that happen.
And how do you suggest that people might start getting into this? What do you think they need to be doing? What would be the first things to be able to get to get off and running and get onto this audio trend?
Start listening to audio, I suppose, is the first
yes.
one.
I agree, yes.
Yes, it's a lot easier once you kind of understand that, audio, what are the different nuances of audio, what different ways people are using audio, whether you like listening to audio, because if you don't like listening to audio, chances are you probably wouldn't like creating audio. So, I think starting to listen and seeing what else is out there is probably the number one way to do it.
Who then would you suggest would be the best places to go to listen, apart from your honored self, of course?
I think iTunes has got a variety of different ways that you can or different options for anyone that wants to listen. And within iTunes, I think it's now the third largest search engine. So it doesn't matter whether you like butterflies or you like crochet or entrepreneurship. It doesn't really matter. Or food. You can go onto iTunes and put that into the subject and I guarantee you'll find something that's up.
Who's your favorite one? You get time out to listen. Who do you listen to?
I definitely listen to a lot of NPR podcasts. They're really nice ones. There's 99 Invisible, which is a really, really good one. Serial, obviously, but I wait for the whole season of Serial to finish before I get involved in the season because I can't wait. I don't have the patience to wait for the next. I prefer to skim the whole thing. What else do I listen to? There's some really good. GE has created a new podcast called The Message, That's a really, really good one. It's only 8 episodes, but it's really fantastically done. Apart from that, I really like podcasts that help me get smarter while I'm driving. So stuff like Sean D'Souza, The 3-Month Vacation is a really good one. There's the $100 MBA, which is also really a really nice different type of a podcast. And then there is Jordan Harbinger, The Art of Charm. There are quite a few. There are quite a few really, really good ones out there.
Okay. I hope, listeners, that you've been taking that down. And if you haven't, we do have a replay. So when you sit and listen to the replay, make sure you take notice of some of those that Ron has suggested that you listen to. And then if you've got some of yourself people out there, I'd love you to just send me an email and we can mention the ones that you've been listening to on our next show. Well, I know that you've got an upcoming book. Do you want to speak a little bit about that and when it might be coming out?
Yes. thanks for that. My upcoming book is called Amplification, and it's about the 6 steps that someone needs to take to amplify their content, to be able to create a marketing platform in a way that they can really utilize it. So how, if someone wants to implement a content marketing strategy efficiently to get people's attention, keep them engaged, and turn that engagement into sales and allow their customers to love their brand and see their brand and engage with their brand the way they do, then this book is going to be written for them.
Oh, and when would that be coming out? Any indication?
We're looking at We Are Podcast. We Are Podcast 2016 as the release date. In fact, you guys are the first people for me to say that out loud, which makes it so much more real.
Thank you. Yeah, we have to put a real date there, don't we, now? Because now we're going to hold you to it, aren't we, Ron?
Yeah, I have no doubt.
I love that. It sounds, honestly, sounds like a great book for anybody who's getting into audio, anybody who is starting a startup business or a current business, an entrepreneur, or even a larger business. We've just been speaking about that in the last few minutes on how to get your content and to create that marketing from that content. So your book sounds like something that we would all need to be keeping an eye out and grabbing so that we can see how we can leverage our audio. You mentioned We Are Podcast, and I wanted to see if you could talk a little bit about that, because it's the first podcasting conference in the Southern Hemisphere. Would you like to share some ideas on how that's come about, what's going to happen, and who should be getting in on it?
Absolutely. So last year, at the start of last year, I had had breakfast with a mentor of mine, and I blame him for everything because he planted this. And he said to me, if someone's going to do it, why shouldn't you be the first one? And I, as much as I was involved in food at the time, the idea just stuck and it would just not go away. So last year we put together the first podcasting conference in the Southern Hemisphere. It happened on the Gold Coast in Australia, and it was over 1.5 days. We had 18 speakers and over 200 people there. This year, we're looking to ramp it up and go to 2.5 days with about 30 speakers, and we're looking to have a crowd of about 300 to 400 people there. Who should come? Solopreneurs, to business owners that have under 50. The way I see the crowd being the different demographic of the crowd. We're going to cover everything from storytelling to Facebook ads to how to use your podcast in different ways, how to get influencers. There's a whole bunch of panels around membership groups and member forums, There's a lot of stuff we're going to cover this year. There's also Future of Tech, a session on Future of Tech done by Jenny Martin. So, yeah, it's a value pack, full of content, full of value to anyone who's thinking about doing the space.
Sounds exciting. Now, there was just something that you mentioned there, and it's a word that has been appearing on my mind for a while, and I've been seeing it mentioned around, and that is influencers. Do you want to share a little bit about what that means, who they are, and why we should be interested in them?
Absolutely. I think we are already interested in influencers, whether we identify them as influencers or not. If you think about influential people, that's the reason why brands pay cricket stars or sports people a lot of money to endorse their brand. The influence has been around for ages. We always gravitate to someone who can who knows more people or who has all these connections or who for whatever reason, because of their influence, they get more opportunities. They have a better product and they have better relationships and they get paid more. So those are influential people. The more we hang around with, the average of the five people we hang around with. So the more influential people you hang around with, suddenly your standards change and suddenly you tend to become more influential as well. So influence is really important, I think. Irrespective of whether you identify yourself to be influential or not, you are influential. If you're a parent, you're influential to your kids. If you're a teacher, you're influential to everyone in there. If you're a business owner, you're influential to a whole bunch of people. So influence is important. It's about taking influence to a new level.
Okay. So how would you suggest that we should take this to that new level?
Meet new people, for sure. Like connect with them, interview them, have a podcast interview. Interview new people, interview influential people. There's always so many different ways of doing it. Meet new people at networking events. The more people you interview, the more people you chat with, the more ideas you get. The world looks a lot different, and that's key.
Absolutely. I sort of talk about getting out of your comfort zone because I mentor introverts, and the issue of some introverts is because they sit behind their computer on their blogs and don't always get out to meet the people that they should be doing. So, yeah, I think that's really great. And influencers are something about identifying people that you can interview on your blog and interview on your podcast. And as I said at the beginning, just ask. I saw you as an influencer, loved what you were doing, and thought, well, I'll just ask. The only worst thing that you get is no, and the best thing is they say yes, like you did, Ron. And I do appreciate your being on the show today, sharing with us your information about audio and where it's going. Question for you. Who has been an inspiration for you, Ron?
There have been a lot of people that have been inspirations for me. I think looking around, you see a lot of people doing a lot of cool stuff. But for me, I think there are little bits of conversations that I've had with people that have influenced me more. Not necessarily people, not necessarily role models in general, but just conversations that have influenced me more. And one of the conversations that influenced me most recently, and when I say most recently, it's been over a year ago now, is a mentor of mine based in Singapore said to me, when I was going through a really tough time, when I was putting on this conference, the first conference last year, and I was like, I don't know how this is going to come together. This is like really outside my comfort zone. And he said to me, Ronsley, it's not about the outcome. It's not about whether you succeed or you fail in your quest to create this conference. It's about the person you become as a result of attempting something like this. And I think that to me that has had a very profound effect on the way I look at any new venture, anything that's difficult, anything that's challenging me, anything that's taking me outside my comfort zone. I start looking at the person I am going to become as a result of attempting something like that.
I heartily agree. I think that is a very, very profound statement. As I say, it's the journey, not necessarily the destination. It's what you do. And it is amazing, isn't it? What lessons have you learned or insights have you learned in what you've been doing that you could share with our listeners? Maybe things that you would say, if I was starting out, I'd do something different, that you could share.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, the biggest business learning that I've had is that always find out whether what you're creating has a market, whether people are going to buy what you have to sell to them. Because a lot of times we have this great idea. We love the idea. We get very romantic with the idea of starting a business and what we're going to do for the world. But we don't even know whether anyone's going to buy from us. And then we spend so much money and so much effort finding these people. You know, the other way around is you have the idea, go test it out, see if anyone's willing to pay for it, see if there is a market for it, and then go out and spend money on branding and websites and all that kind of stuff. Always find product market fit before you throw money, energy, effort, or, you know, God forbid, quit your job. Always find that first before you do anything. I think that's, for me, one of the biggest business lessons that I learned the hard way.
I think it's amazing. I often ask this question for people, and I've heard it asked many times, and the answer's been very similar. But it's amazing how we always got to learn it the hard way, don't we? People don't always listen. People don't always listen to that. What other lesson? Any other lesson that you could give us? Something that you have learnt over the time, or insight, the aha moment you've had?
Yeah, I think serving more than asking. So a lot of us get to a point where we ask a lot of stuff, but the more we serve and the more we give, chances are then when we need something, we somehow the universe provides. So looking at it from a greater good point of view is always more important. How many other people can you help with the one transaction that you do? All these little things are really important, I think, in business today, because I don't believe that entrepreneurship or business in today's world is all about making money. I think it's exactly the opposite. I think money is only a byproduct. I think it's all about making a difference. And the more of a difference you make, the more people you rally around you, and the more people you rally around you, the bigger your cause becomes. The bigger your cause becomes, the bigger the movement becomes. And what you need is to have a movement.
Absolutely. And it's true, as most marketers or people will say to you, it's about who do you know, like, trust. And it's that knowing and liking and trusting that's getting us into business now, rather than just the pure sales. So, money is a byproduct of what we're doing. One question that I have, my final question for you, to a certain way, is what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really, really good question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that question before. I think a good speaker is someone that connects with their audience. I think that is probably, for me, the only criteria that makes a good speaker, because that speaker could have the most rubbish topic and they could be probably not even prepared. And I'm not saying don't be prepared before you go become a speaker. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the most important trait you should have is connecting with your audience in one way or the other. Like, you've got to take your cues from the audience It's not about just getting through your content. It's not about that at all. It's about taking your audience through a journey and them connecting with you in a way that that you connect with them and they connect with you in a way that they tell you or give you the cues as to whether you should stop, whether you should pause, whether you have to give an example at that stage, whether you go off on a rant, whether you ask a question or you get asked a question. All that stuff just comes from you taking cues from the audience, and that all that comes from connection with the audience. Because like what we're doing right now, Trish, I mean, we have no idea what the audience is doing when they're listening to this. But being a speaker in front of people, you have that massive advantage. And I suggest taking that as your number one. The biggest thing that you should learn is how to take cues from the audience.
Absolutely. I can't agree more. I think that is one of the biggest values. And you're right. A speaker can get away with a lot of maybe not quite great technique or strategy if they've got passion and if they connect and share and open themselves to the audience. Absolutely. Ron, it's been an absolute delight to have you with me this morning on our show. Just very quickly, where can people find you if they want to know more?
First of all, Chris, thank you so much. This has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate you reaching out to me. I wish you so much luck going forward. Keep the hustle going. Obviously, very, very important what you've done is ask as many people as possible to be on your show. That's great. For people who want to connect with me, I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/Ronsley, or twitter.com/Ronsley. Or, you know, any of the websites. So wearepodcast.com is probably the most active one.
And if people want to come to your We Are Podcast conference, where can they go to get in there and register?
Yeah, wearepodcast.com, and there'll be a little button on the left-hand side which says 2016. So that's what.
So anybody interested in audio, podcasting, starting up, or if you are already a podcast, I think you would understand and recognize from today's show that Ron has an immense amount of information to share, and I think We Are Podcast Conference would be somewhere that you should be going to get there. Thank you very much, Ron, for being with us again. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, before we close off today, I'm just going to finish with my usual quote. Now, I had two quotes that I was going to share. I think the one that I'm going to go with you today with my listeners, because I think it comes out of what I've been discussing with Ron today. And that quote is, "Why not go out on a limb? That's where the fruit is." And that's a quote by Mark Twain. So those people who've been sitting there, startup people, people who might be in business for a while, entrepreneurs, even in the bigger businesses, thinking about changing, and you're not quite sure where to go, my message to you today is go out on the limb. Take that step, and take that step with audio. Do a podcast. Start thinking about doing a radio show. Start thinking about doing some audios. Follow some of the tips that Ron's been sharing today. And I suppose my first step is, do it. We often sit in a pool of procrastination because we're not too sure on how to do it and what to do. And we sit there in that pool of procrastination wondering how to get going. And the more we sit there, the more we're going to stagnate. So take what Mark Twain has said. Go out on the limb. My challenge to you is, if you're not doing audio, see about how you can. If you're worried about who to interview and you're not too sure about trying to find some influencers to start with the people around you. Find their stories. Interview them. Then reach out to fellow entrepreneurs, fellow businesses, people who are doing something similar to you. Start to get comfortable with that. Then as you start to reach out a bit further and your circle widens, you're going to start to touch some of those influencers, and then you can start asking them, And believe me, people, it's just a matter of asking that question and they'll give you an answer, and usually it will be yes. So before you know it, then you're out where the fruit is and you're gathering that fruit and you're expanding your influence. I've had a really great time today speaking with Ron Sleevez from We Are Podcast Conference, the creator and the host of Bon Appetit. If you need to contact Ron, he's given you his details and they'll be in the replay. If you want to contact me, you can contact Trish at info@trishell.com.au. Connect with me on Facebook, Trishell Innovative Communication Training. My website is trishspringsteen.com. If you've got a question that you would like answered on the next show, anywhere of those places, or do it into my private message at Facebook, and I'll deal with it on the next show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have an awesome evening or an awesome day, wherever you may be, and we'll catch you next time. Bye. Thanks, Ronsley.
Thanks, Trish.
Thank you.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Radio.
Hello. Hi. Yes, I can. Can you hear me? Oh, good. Yeah, that was a bit nerve-wracking. That was very nerve-wracking. I actually started typing to him, log out and try again, just as you told me to do that. I don't know why we're this. Yeah. I got. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, can I just clarify the link that you send out when you schedule the show? Is that the link that they call in on as well? They get a different. Okay, that comes from Blog Talk. I don't. Yeah.